Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, Brian, it's time for our favorite segment where we turn it over to our dear listeners over on Twitter and let them start generating our topics. Let us take a break from all that, and they get to basically interview us here for this segment for our Twitter mailbag. First question from Jeff Johnson. Does Noah Brown always look this good in Oxnard, or is this different? I think it's funny you kind of referenced earlier. He's on Team Valley Ranch. Can the answer to this be yes to both? He always does kind of show up in Oxnard, but it does look different this year, I think.
I tell you what, he's running some really good routes. And you mentioned about Prince, you know, the receivers coach. There's some of these guys, you know, look at the defensive linemen. Look at the improvement, you know, since AD has taken over the defensive line.
Yeah,
you look at guys have gotten better. Guys have gotten better up front. And maybe it's a situation where, you know, Noah Brown has taken to Coach Prince, and, you know, maybe there's some he's latching on to some thoughts, and it's out there helping him. But, yeah, Noah Brown traditionally is one of those guys that always looks really good in practice, and then you get in the game, and you're kind of like, okay, Noah, make a play for me here. Oh, don't drop the ball, Noah, that kind of thing. So he has put together a lot of really good days, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's why I think you can say yes, he does always look good on Oxnard, but yes, it does look different. It does look like more consistent. It looks like he's better and winning in ways that he hasn't totally won in the past. Next question here from Chris C. He said, I heard a lot of pre-camp noise about Farniok challenging Tyler Biotish. Any evidence of that so far in camp? I don't know about you, Broadus. The answer for me is a definitive no. I'm kind of disappointed in Matt Farniok since he got here to camp. Yeah. The rep that I've seen from McGuard, when he's gotten in some work there, he's you know, shown up a lot in bad ways. You see him kind of you see him turned around chasing somebody into the backfield. But I don't think that Matt Farniok is challenging Tyler Biotish very much. And I think the Cowboys felt like they had a legitimate challenger to Tyler Biotish. I don't know that Biotish would be starting, but it's one of those things we're just like, this is the best we got, so we're going to roll with this.
I've noticed Braylon Jones, he's in his first year. I mean, he's a veteran guy, but only 1 year service out of Houston. I've noticed Braylon Jones more than I've noticed Farniok playing center, and good or bad. You know, I mean, I just have not noticed much of Farniok, you know, doing anything that just caught my eye at all.
No, when I notice him, like I said, it usually is. I notice him, like, I was like, who just got beat there? And I see his number in his chest chasing somebody. Yeah. So that's not been great. We also did notice, as we mentioned the other day, he got some fullback work in, which may speak to the fact that they actually do like him a little bit in a weird way, is the fact that they had him in there as a fullback, because they feel like, okay, well, he'll be one of our backup offensive linemen, and maybe we'll also use him in this fullback role. I've been a little disappointed in Matt Farniok. I was excited about him, thought that he could, I didn't think he'd legitimately challenge, but I thought there was at least, hey, this is somebody you might be able to groom a little bit to become a legitimate NFL offensive lineman, which maybe you still can. It just hasn't looked like it so far.
Yeah.
Next question here from Bobby McKay. And Brian, I think you've addressed this a little bit already, but let's see what your confidence meter is. Bobby says, can Steele be trusted to start? He looked very shaky in team drills on Saturday. Is that a Parsons issue, or should we be concerned? And I guess that's a good way to tackle it is, should some of this be viewed through the lens of he is blocking Micah Parsons on a considerable number of snaps, and that's a difficult thing to do?
Parsons is a badass if you hadn't known by now. But, yeah, no, that's – and like I said, the good ones figure it out. The good ones will figure out how to rush him. The good ones will not let him win one-on-one. You know, you play with power, he struggles. You play with athletic ability to the edge, he's athletic enough to wash you by or push you by the quarterback. Where he's at his absolute worst is having to put the anchor down and stop somebody at that point of attack and sit down on somebody. So, yeah, I mean, Micah Parsons will make you look bad. Absolutely he will. But you know what? I mean, it's – I just worry. I just worry about the – you know, the tackles, I've said this a bunch, are always responsible for the width of the pocket. You know, the guards, the centers are responsible for the depth of the pocket. But if the width of the pocket is getting compromised by players in the quarterback's lap, that's going to be a problem.
Question here from @powder_blues.
Ranger fan, I guess. Yeah.
It's a Dodgers fan.
Oh, it's a Dodgers fan.
They have Koufax.
Powder Blues.
Yeah, they have
Koufax. I was thinking the Rangers, you know, those uniforms they wear on Sunday.
Well, it's Koufax. So it's Koufax, so I'd assume that's a Sandy Koufax reference.
That's Sandy Koufax there, yeah.
The question is, what would be the plan at swing tackle if Josh Ball's struggles continue? I don't know that they have a plan. It felt kind of – you remember after the draft, Jerry Jones seemed to kind of suggest, like, look, we've invested now in two guys here, Ball and Waletzko, to be swing tackles, and that just needs to be proven right. And if it's not proven right, fine, but we've spent the capital. It's their time.
I hate to say this, but I have a feeling that Tyler Smith would be your swing tackle. I think if something happens to one of these offensive tackles, you got to go with your best five. And if your best five, and we'll see. I mean, we'll see. If something happens to Tyron Smith, who's going to play tackle? Tyler Smith, probably, right? Probably won't be Ball or one of those guys. Yeah. You know? They can't afford to play with Ball and Steel. I mean, you just can't. You couldn't do that. So I think Tyler Smith, if something were to happen to one of these tackles, right or left, we could very well see Tyler Smith jump in there.
Question from Hitstick. He says, is this the year, and I think this is an interesting question, is this the year CJ Goodwin isn't safe because they want to keep a Turpin type? Like, does Bones on the special roster?
Yeah, Turpin's already on this team.
Right. So because Turpin's on the team, though, do you think that hurts the numbers enough that they are?
Bones Fossil will get five guys. Bones Fossil will get five guys. He'll have his punter, his kicker, his snapper. He'll have Turpin, and he'll have one more guy. That could be Goodwin or whoever the defensive. I think Nashawn Wright's playing well enough to be considered. Nashawn Wright's playing better than Kelvin Joseph right now.
Yes. Kelvin Joseph, out of all the corners I think we felt like could be on this team, Trayvon Diggs, Anthony Brown, Jordan Lewis, Nashawn Wright, Kelvin Joseph, and Deron Bland, I think Kelvin Joseph has been the worst corner of the six out here.
At least through the first several practices, the 2 weeks of practice, yeah, I'd agree with you on that.
Which is concerning. Question here from Jesse Griffin. Do you think it's possible the Cowboys can re-sign Tony Pollard on a team-friendly deal? Sounds as if Stephen Jones all but admitted Zeke will be gone. I'm not certain. I talked about this with our friends Kelsey Charles and Megan Murray the other day. I'm not convinced this isn't the last year for Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott.
I agree. I
think the Cowboys, after the Ezekiel Elliott deal, I think some things you hear them talk about, I don't think this is a second contract running back team anymore.
Nope. I think you're right about that. Team-friendly deal. And does he want to sign a – after the way that they've used him, and again, Jerry Jones, if you listen to our interview on 105.3 The Fan, I used the word wasted Pollard's career, basically.
Yeah.
I said the word wasted. Jerry Jones didn't appreciate my use of the word wasted. So, no. Why would Tony Pollard sign here unless he had nowhere else to go? I don't.
Could they entertain bringing him back on a deal, given they have used him so little, though, that they may feel like...
Sure, they could, but if Tony Pollard gets the same or a little bit more, why stay? You know?
I would imagine a Pollard would be very attractive to a guy like Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan. Like, oh, we can do the things we can do with that guy. Absolutely.
Sure.
We're gonna
sure.
Next question for you here. This one from our buddy who asked a question last week at I Got Soul. Last year, Leighton Vander Esch played generally well down the stretch, but also dealt with a combination of injuries and generally being out of shape physically. How does he look this year physically, and how has his overall play been in camp?
Great.
I think this is the best he's looked in training camp.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's no pressure on him to have to do anything. You know, it's like it's really legitimate. You got guys on defense. You got those guys up front. You've got the guys on the edge. You got the guy. You got Parsons. You got Kearse. Leighton Vander Esch doesn't have to be the stud on defense. And he's played, I think Leighton Vander Esch has been one of the better players they've had on defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's seen everything faster too. It looks like he's able to diagnose and attack faster than he had in years past. And so I think that's something that's pretty impressive for him. Next question from Legend of Bobby 91. He says, "Would you let Garibay handle all the kicks in the first preseason game?" I don't know that that's necessarily a bad idea. I mean, I think they kind of know what they have in Haere Lahu at this point and that they know he'll be steady.
You're
not going to let him do it?
No, switch him off. If you're going to let one guy kick, if you're going to let one guy kick at altitude and not the other guy, I don't know. No, switch him. Switch him. That's the great thing about it. Have it as a competition. That's what I would do. You get one guy gets the first half, the other guy gets the second half, or alternate every kick.
But the altitude helps the distance more than any.
Yeah, it does. It helps the distance. It absolutely does.
Knowing Garibay's already got the power, and you know Haere Lahu who's accurate. Why get an inflated sense of Haere Lahu's leg power, and instead just let Garibay get in the kicks to see if he's accurate.
This question seems like a Garibay fan. This must be a Texas Tech fan.
I don't know. Let me see. Let's look. Let's see if he says Texas. But it does not. It just says Matt fan for life.
Okay. But I mean, it's a fair question. No, I alternate. This has been a competition. You got three games. Give them all three games and just alternate it. And whoever looks the best by the time I and Brad make the final call in Seattle, take that as your kicker, or don't take either one of the guys. Go out and get somebody else from out there, you know?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Next question from, I love this handle, at I Be On It All Days, says, what are the chances that Dennis Houston makes this team? Do you think he's pretty much locked in at this point with how much they seem to like him?
Yeah, I mean, again, but don't go out there and pee down your leg, you know, when we get to these preseason games. They're giving him a lot of looks, a lot of reps. But, you know, there's been some others that have shown up a little bit better than him. I think they want him to have success. I think they're trying to. Hey, let's be honest. Their players cut themselves in a lot of ways. And, you know, you go out there and you practice, you're just okay in practice. I mean, he gets a lot of work. But if he goes out there in those three preseason games and doesn't do anything, he's not guaranteed a spot on my team. There's nothing I'm saying about that at all.
It was really interesting. CeeDee Lamb did an interview with our buddies, our teammates over at 105 Through the Fan, the KNC Masterpiece, and they asked him which of the other receivers had stood out at practice, and he mentioned Houston, and he said that his releases are insane. I have not noticed his releases. I mean,
runs funny. He's kind of a funny runner when he gets upfield. It's like it's not really. It didn't look smooth to me.
It reminds me a little of almost kind of like Jameel Showers.
Yeah,
you know how it's like almost a player every where it's like the staff and the team's talking about how great they're, and it's like I don't how and Showers was a guy like that pretty consistently, and that one always caught me off guard. So. I think Dennis Houston is on just because they all seem to be in love with him. And, you know, no disrespect.
Hey, he's got these games, these practices. He's got to show more than he has for me.
He's got plenty of sponsors, though.
He does.
Sponsors thing. Next question from Garrett Jeffcoat. Do you think Kevontae Turpin will be used more than just special teams? Seems like they might put him in a slot role as well from the ports they've been seeing.
Sure.
I got to say, early on we talked about how he was special teams pretty much all the offensive secondary. That's what Mike McCarthy said. But it sure seems like they've liked what they've seen in practice and are increasing some of his opportunities in the offense.
Absolutely. This kid is – he's proven that, you know, he's going to make plays in the preseason games. So, again, Will McClay talked about him being a returner first, receiver next, kind of like things kind of balancing out for him a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised they continue to use him. You know, he's figured some things out.
Last question here from Todd. He says – who do you think will be the best interior pass rusher this year? And do you think it's underrated as a defensive quality? I think it's the number one thing that frustrates the pocket passers like Brady. I mean, it's kind of like you were saying that the edges determine the width of the pocket and the guards will determine the depth of the pocket. And so, if the interior defensive lineman can penetrate, that disrupts quite a bit. I think it's a slam dunk. The best interior defensive pass rusher has been Oso Digizua.
No question. He shows up more than any other pass rusher. And I say Tristan Hill's done a pretty good job too as an interior rusher and being around the ball and stuff like that. So, but by far, Osa's got my vote right now. Him and Gallimore playing the one and the three, I really do like them. I like that combination.
We've got a couple more practices this week. I will be heading home on Wednesday night, but we'll be back with you guys again on Wednesday morning. Brian, biggest thing you want to see out here at camp this week?
Yeah, Bob, I hope you can be my eyes for all of us.
I'm here for you, man.
Yeah, and just keep an eye. Are we going to start to see this thing? We've now had all these practices. Now we're getting ready for a game. I'm interested to see if they go just solidly what happens at left guard. I'm interested to see, again, maybe a little bit more of the rotation at wide receiver. Just keep an eye on those two spots. Left guard, see if it's all Smith and then McGovern a little bit here and there, or are they still rotating? And I'm interested to see which one of these receivers, Noah Brown's done a great job of making plays, who else is going to step up this week and make some more plays as well.
We'll be keeping an eye on it and talk to you all.
Watch the kickers, though, too.
I'm sure you'll hear all about that on Twitter, regardless if I watch it or not. Yeah. But we'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday.